You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My apologies, okay? The man is back. The Mad Dog himself, him and all of his minions out there nationwide, thinking that they just gonna roll up in first take and take over. Obviously, we see Mad Dog, he's back in the mix, forehead shining, he looks good, got the great smile on his face. He's a good-looking man. He's a good-looking man. Before first take, after I get through with it, I don't know. You in trouble, Doggy? You in trouble? They should have told you. You should have never came back. You should have never came back. First takes in the house.
Whoa. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building. Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
It's going to be a riot. Doubt me, it's quiet. I got the candy gas. I'm about to ignite. I am driven. I won't ever get tired because I've been left behind. I have to get right.
We're the ones expected to take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs.
I don't know what happened with that woo, Stephen A., but I know someone who is going to bring it.
Oh, yeah.
This
sure.
Guy.
Yes, sir. How are
Christopher
you?
Christopher Mad Dog
I
Russo.
You guys, I don't
we missed you,
miss
too. You look very
you.
Handsome.
You.
You're
Black
looking
suit?
Well.
Yes. Yep.
Great to have you. Oh, hi, Stephen A.
Hey, listen, first of all, Molly, that's a cheap shot right there. You start off with the cheap shot. Oh, hi, Stephen A. I saw that. That's all right, though. Doggy, it's good to see you, my man. The tie looks sharp. The outfit looks good. Don't know about the hair, do a little bit. You might want to go to the barber to get it trimmed a little bit. But
I like the hair.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, but hey, listen, you on first take and you following the yellow brick road. That would be Molly. I got you. I got you.
Unbelievable. Here we go. All right, guys. Major news last night. Devin Booker, after a 31-point performance in the first half, did not play in the fourth quarter after suffering a hamstring injury. It was a loss to the Pelicans. The series is now knotted. Stephen A., what type of impact can this have?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, this is just a quick take here. The Phoenix Suns should be able to handle their business against the New Orleans Pelicans. They were thrown for a loop last night. Give credit to the Pelicans where it's due. They played an exceptional game. I don't expect that to continue. The bottom line is that the Phoenix Suns are built, even without Devin Booker to win this series. They're clearly built without Devin Booker to win the next series, which would be Dallas or Utah. So as far as I'm concerned, as long as Devin Booker is back and ready to go for the Western Conference Finals, I have very, very minimal concern about the Phoenix Suns. That's where I'm at with it.
Right out of the gate, I get mad at them. Well, they are going to have a lot of trouble without Booker in this series. Ingram is on fire. New Orleans has got a lot of momentum right now. They're going to need him. Now, listen, could they survive here if he misses a game or two and come back from a 2-2 scenario? Yeah, they probably could. But if they don't have Booker, Stephen A., they may lose the Pelicans in round one. They're not that good without Booker.
You should be tested. You got to be kidding me. I mean, you're trying to tell me they need Booker to beat the Orleans Pelicans?
Without
Zion Williamson?
How'd they play last night when he went out?
They lost. They lost the
game. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Let's watch the game. Oh, please. Oh, stop it. We'll get to this later. You got to be crazy. I'm starting with you. You start with me. They're going to lose to the Pelicans. Oh, please. Please.
Without him.
Listen.
Without him.
Oh, please.
All right. He was probably out to dinner somewhere obnoxious. All right. We'll have much more on the Suns and obviously how this could affect the West coming up. But first, we got some news on Kyrie Irving. Kyrie fined, gentlemen, $50,000 for his behavior towards Celtics fans. The NBA said the fine was for making obscene gestures on the playing court and directing profane language toward the spectator stands during Sunday's Game 1 in Boston. Here's Kevin Durant on what Boston fans are really feeling regarding Kyrie.
It's rooted in love. They once loved you. They once cheered for you and, you know, bought your merchandise and, you know, had, you know, life-altering experiences coming to games watching you play. So, when it kind of gets ripped from them from just something like a trade or demanding a trade or wanting to leave, like they feel like a piece of them is gone too.
First they love you, then they hate you, then they love you again. I get it. Do you have an issue with how Kyrie interacted with the fans?
Listen, he shouldn't. I like Durant's quotes. Those are good quotes.
Yeah.
I like his quotes. Kyrie should know better. You know, those fans are paying a fortune to go to these games. I don't like the language either.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to have the fans be a little more cooperative to their players. Don't get me wrong. But I am not going to make a kill the Celtic fan on Easter Sunday, a couple of pops, and they want to get on Kyrie, who's having an incredible fourth quarter.
It was Easter Sunday. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to give them a little pass. Kyrie's got to know better. You're not going to win that battle. Giving them, you know, flipping them the finger, and you're not going to win that. Stay out of the way, stay above the fray, and go out there and play bad. Now, he played great in the fourth quarter, so we know that.
Sure.
So he had a very bad possession, two bad possessions at the end. He
really
dribbled way too much with 40 seconds to go. He dumped the ball out to Durant, who had to throw a Hail Mary. That was Kyrie's fault. Didn't recognize the double team properly. Trying to make a play that wasn't there. But, I mean, listen, it's a distraction. Do they need another distraction with him? He's such a distraction, and he's so polarizing. He's so hard to embrace and root for. And now we're going to deal with this nonsense with him again. This is what the Nets are about. The Nets are about a lot of bad karma. They had bad karma last year,
ooh,
the Harden thing. They got bad karma again. Those last three possessions on Sunday afternoon were awful, atrocious. Their offensive possession was bad. They gave Brown a layup with 5 seconds off the clock, which was ridiculous. And then they were scattered on the basket by Tatum. So I'm down on Kyrie. Pipe down. Just play the game.
Stephen A., did you get the headline?
So
the Nets are all about bad karma. Just want to make sure.
I'm so surprised. Mad Dog is down on Kyrie. I'm so surprised. I mean, breaking news. I mean, that's really breaking news right there. Let me tell you something. I'm down on Kyrie Irving, too, for a lot of reasons. Sunday ain't one of them. I had no problem with what he did. Zero, okay? And I'm going to tell you why, all right? He knew he was going to get fined. He knew that it was at least a $25,000 to $50,000 fine. It was not like he thought that, oh, excuse me, I'm right, and so I don't deserve to get fined. I'm going to appeal the fine and all this other stuff. He's not doing that. He made a statement. His whole mentality is this. I'm a bust y'all living, you know what, while I'm sitting there giving you the bird with what y'all are saying to me. I'm not advocating that any kind of violence takes place. I'm not advocating that that's even something that he does in the future. But think about this is the part that I think everybody's missing. And I actually went on NBA radio this morning and tried to explain it to Frank Isola and Brian Scalabrine. I mean, God bless me. I hope I pulled it off. I love them both. But the point that I'm trying to make to you, doggy, is this. Think about how many times we lament, doggy, and I'm going to win you over on this argument. Think about how many times we lament how we suspect players don't care enough. Not all, not most, but some. It's about your brand. It's about load management. It's about protecting what you have instead of earning what you have. It's about showing up to work every day. It's about understanding that the paying customer has a right to have an expectation that what they pay for, they're going to get. Well, guess what? This is all that comes with it. Some of the times, don't you find yourself feeling that the NBA has gotten a little bit soft? I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the league office. I mean, every damn thing's a technical. I see guys getting technicals because they looked at the referee. Now, Jokic the other day in Denver deserved to get thrown out because of the second technical, but the first technical he got, what? When he said, what I do? And that's a technical foul. It gets a little bit too ridiculous here. If Kyrie Irving, again, we're not advocating that you do that continuously, but in the moment, you have an emotional reaction to the kind of shrapnel that they're throwing at you. Excuse me, I don't have a problem with it. Trey Young comes to the Garden. He's sitting up there, he's waving goodbye. He's giving them bows. He's sitting there talking about we here, mocking New York Knicks fans. You do stuff like that to build antagonism, to make sure that these folks know that you're coming at them the way that they're coming at you. And then you get on the court and you bust their living, you know what? Boston answered the call. What they did was they responded to the vitriol that their fans were throwing in Kyrie Irving's direction, and Jason Tatum went out there and dropped over 40, and Jaylen Brown balled, and Marcus Smart, before he won Defensive Player of the Year, did what he did. This is the kind of stuff that makes the sport more compelling. We don't need the doggies of the world. Say, no, I mean, come on. I mean, you have to be this way. I mean, enough already. No, we want all of that. It
Stephen
makes
A.
it better.
Don't gloss over what he said, though. On Easter Sunday, you want all that? Because that was a great point. It didn't bother me either, but you're right. It was a holiday.
You know, how about Kyrie pick up the phone and call Bill Russell if he wants to talk Celtic fan abuse? I mean, with Russell, who played for the team and gave him a hard time. He has to do that now, Stephen A? He's got to do that? He's got to go crazy and flip them the bird? Who cares what the fans say?
It was 20 years.
Go out there and play.
It was 20 years before he was born when Will Russell was going through.
Well, he's supposedly.
He wasn't even in the womb.
He claims he's the world's most interesting American. He's America's most interesting American, for crying out loud. He should know what happened with Russell 20, 30 years ago. I'm just tired
That's
of Kyrie. There's
that,
always something
there.
With Kyrie.
You got me there.
I mean, there's always something. You know, there's a January 6th thing at the Capitol. He's got
I agree with
off.
That.
There's a kid's birthday party.
We agree with that.
The road trip. Can't take a shot because of the vaccination. The world is
totally
flat.
Agree.
There's always something. I'm so tired of it. Go
I know
shut
that.
Up and play the game for crying out loud.
I have no problem. Hold on. Wait a minute. I have no problem with everything that you just highlighted. What I'm saying is that doesn't have anything to do with Sunday. All of those things that you pointed out are accurate. But Sunday, these guys, I mean, just vitriol being spewed down upon you, it sparked you. It elevated your level of play, and you basically dared the Boston Celtics fans to get their Boston Celtics to do something about it. Now the Celtics answered the call, and they're going to have to answer tonight, my brother, because KD dropping 40. Kyrie going to drop 30. And then we'll talk about the Nets in Boston later. I'm just saying, this is all stuff that contributes to the actual entertainment. You're sitting up there and you're acting like just this in an isolated bubble. This one that said, oh my God, Stephen A. I mean, you can't do that. Well, damn it, yeah, you can. Occasionally, yeah, you can.
Trae Young waving goodbye to Knicks fans after he beats them in a playoff game at Madison Square Garden is different than in the fourth quarter because you're annoyed to get booed and yelled at. You flip the fans the bird. That's a totally different situation, Stephen A.
I agree.
You're smarter than that. You're smarter than that.
Excuse me.
Don't compare
it is a totally different situation. I'm not advocating that it happens in the future. But in the moment that it happened, it doesn't take away from the spectacular play. It raised the angst. It raised the suspense. You found yourself saying, damn, he going back at them. They're going back at him. This, finally, we're being entertained. I'm like, don't complain. I mean, let's soak this up. They robbed us of how many games this guy's missed. He only played 20 games two seasons ago. Last year, he missed about 30 or 40 games. This year, here he is with this nonsense again, with the vaccine and everything else. I was ecstatic that he was actually on the court balling and going at people the way they were going at him. We win. Let's not mess that up. Let's not let him look at Doggy and go like this. Well, I'm just traumatized by what Doggy said. Maybe I don't need to play. We don't want that.
It's a playoff game. I'd hope he want to play. My guys, it's not Sacramento in January. It's a playoff game. We're going to give him a medal because he decided to play in a playoff game on Easter Sunday in Boston.
Stop focus on that and focus on the basketball we're getting. This is what we want. That's why we've been ticked at him, because we want to see the greatness that he put forth on Sunday.
Oh, he's
great. We want to see it.
He's great. That I grant you.
Let's go.
And I agree with you about Durant. His score of 50 tonight. He was terrible. He was terrible.
It won't happen in game two.
That's the worst I've ever seen.
It won't happen again. Stop it. Stop focusing on
terrible.
It. It was an aberration.
Turnovers. He was awful.
It was an aberration.
Be fair.
But you're living on it
for. Be fair. He was terrible in the game. Terrible.
So what is one game? It's Kevin
Durant. He's allowed, but he was terrible.
Thank you.
He was terrible.
All right. Let's stay with the Nets here, guys. But I want to focus on another player. That would be Ben Simmons. Remember, he's on the team as well. Simmons has been cleared for contact after dealing with the back injury. Keep in mind, he hasn't played in nearly a year and obviously has never played with his new team, the Nets. Nets head coach Steve Nash ruled out tonight's game two, but left the door open for Simmons' return at some point in Brooklyn's first round series against the Boston Celtics. Should the Nets bring him back this series? Stephen A., your thoughts?
Hell to the yes. Absolutely.
Throw him out there to the Wolves. I don't give a damn what you got to do to get him on the basketball court. I mean, this is ridiculous to do my doggy imitation. I mean, enough already. Give me a break, okay? I mean, the guy hasn't played since last June. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's doggy. Let me tell you what I feel. This dude has been out since last June. Ain't done a damn thing. Doggy, I'm still trying to figure out how he hurt that back. I don't know if he hit a pothole on the New Jersey Turnpike. I don't know if he was getting his groove on and tweaked his hip. I don't know what the hell was going on. But something wrong. How the hell you get a back injury you ain't played since last June? It makes no sense whatsoever. I don't want to hear all of this nonsense about how he's been out. And you know what? Don't bring him back on the court. If Ben Simmons can give you 15 to 20 minutes playing defense, don't shoot the basketball, just give you 15 minutes to 20 minutes of defense, that's good enough for me because they got enough offense. With Kyrie and KD, they got enough offense. It's the defense that they need help on. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want to hear anything about this dude that's just stealing money, whatever amount of money he's getting, all right, whatever grievance he's filed, just stealing money, getting paid for doing absolutely positively nothing. To put it in perspective, Dougie and myself have played just as many minutes as Ben Simmons this entire season. We played just as many minutes as Ben Simmons. That is unacceptable. And as far as I'm concerned, you want to send a message. You want to get paid? Play. I'm getting to the point where it's pay for play. I mean, this is ridiculous, okay? The man should be out there on the damn basketball court. I don't give a damn how out of shape he is. I don't care if he got to go to the bench and throw up in a bucket and then go out there again. So be it. Earn your money. Put him out there. Because he ain't going to hurt you defensively more than you can't be hurt more because your defense has been sorry for the most part. You need him.
Well, as long as he'll play the last 8 minutes because he can't shoot and he can't make a free throw. So make sure he stays out of the game in the last 8 minutes.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. This is the sign of a desperate team. Here's a guy, as you said, has not played in the better part of a year, hasn't played one game in a scenario with the Nets since the trade. Obviously, has barely participated in any practices. A 4-on-4 contact drill? What the heck does that mean, a 4-on-4 contact drill? He's had months to sit there and get out there and play, as you just alluded to, who knows on his back. And now the Nets, after they gave up 100 million points and couldn't finish off Boston and play no defense, never get a loose ball, and can't rebound, now all of a sudden we're going to throw Ben Simmons out there to be our savior? This is what the Nets are going to do. After they got nothing, they traded hard and they got nothing out of the trade. Curry's hurt. Nobody else. Simmons never plays. They get nothing out of this. I mean, I'm not going to make a big deal about the big guy, Drummond. I mean, this is trade's a disaster. Simmons never played. They traded Harden, and they got nothing going on in return. So now we lose the first game. We can't play defense. We get burned on the last two baskets. So let's throw him out there in a 4-on-4 drill. He hasn't played in a year. He hasn't played with these guys in a competitive situation. How the heck with it? Let him go out there and guard Tatum for 15 minutes. Boy, right. Oh, boy. If that isn't a sign of a team that is going to have a very quick ouster in this postseason series, I'm not sure what is. That is desperation. And if the Nets have to do that, they're gone quickly here against Boston.
That's it's what I was desperation. About. It's desperation, but that's okay. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And these are desperate times. You're going up against the number 2 seed Boston Celtics. You're trying to win this series. I would remind you that even with their suspect defense, it still came down to a buzzer-beating shot by Jason Tatum in order for them to win that game. He misses it, or they don't get a shot off, the Brooklyn Nets win that game. They had the lead. You needed 2 points to win that game. And Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum did just that. Nets win this game. And this way, think about it this way, Doggy. The Brooklyn Nets almost won the game with KD's performance in game one. With Seth Curry
more,
only hitting one shot.
That might
with
be
Ben
more
Simmons
about
not
Boston,
playing.
No, that
with
might
Patty
be more
Mills
about,
not doing much.
Yeah, but Stevie, that might be more about the Celtics. Everybody going gaga because the Celtics went 28-7 over 35 games. Who cares?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Everybody gaga. Go get to an NBA final. Go get to an NBA final.
Excuse me.
I already heard about the great
excuse me.
You know, by the way, speaking of this,
they're an elite defense.
I must have heard for weeks about this Celtic defense, and it's the greatest defense in the world. God. The Nets scored at will. In the second, they blew a 15-point lead, Boston.
No.
They were awful. Every time they couldn't stop Irving. I mean, they ran out of bad game, and they still gave up
116
points.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
You guys are hot stuff.
Look at me when I'm talking to you.
I'm looking.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Yes.
Did you not say that Kyrie Irving was great?
He was. 38 points. It was great in the game.
Excuse me. He was the only one scoring. It wasn't the team. It's that they couldn't stop that dude because he's great. You can't have it both ways. He's either great or Boston Celtics defense ain't that good. Which one is it?
You guys think the Celtic defense, Chuck Daly and the Pistons in the early 90s.
Oh,
let's
stop
take it easy.
Excuse me. Chuck Daly's defense with the Bad Boy Pistons, obviously a lot was being said because they were able to neutralize Michael Jordan to some degree. He's Michael Jordan, okay?
Yes.
So Kyrie Irving is spectacular. Kyrie Irving is great. That is undeniable. And Boston had a hard time with him.
The point is, they were 28-7 over 35 games.
That's
everybody
right.
Making such a big deal. That
because
the
they were 28-7.
The greatest team in the world. Can I say something? Can I see some success? Can I see a couple of series? they blew a 15-point lead at home. Durant was bad. And they blew a 15-point lead at home in game one of a playoff series against the Nets team that couldn't put Cleveland away. And we got the Celtics out to be the, this is not the 61-62 Celtics with Russell, Havlicek, Guzzi, Eisen, Seth Sanders. Can we calm down a little bit? About the Boston side, including
you. You are misrepresenting.
Can we calm
down?
You
are misrepresenting. Hold on. Calm down. Calm down. Okay, that's number one. Number two.
That's ridiculous.
Listen. No one sat up there and talked about them like they were the championship Celtics. Number three. You did say they went 28-7. Do something already. Well, the playoffs just started, and they won game one. What are you talking about? What are they supposed to do? Fast forward the clock and leapfrog to the finals? The games have to be played. They ain't lose the playoff game yet. I mean, you're talking about – you're saying what have they done? They went 28-7 in their last 35 games, and they won game one. What's the problem? What do you mean do something?
We'll see if they do something. What do you mean what's the problem? They were lucky to win that game. If Nash did a better job in the last few possessions, they'd be down a game.
So who do you have winning tonight?
God.
Celtics.
You got Boston winning tonight?
I think.
And you have Boston winning the series, right?
Yeah, I'm down on the Nets. Yeah, Boston will get through the series. But Boston's not winning the NBA championship. I don't care what Stevie A says. They're not winning. They're going to lose to Milwaukee in round two. How's that?
Brooklyn winning tonight.
Okay.
And the series.
Okay.
You got Brooklyn winning the series now?
Yes.
He always had Brooklyn winning the series, so he's
where'd
just
that,
sticking
where'd
with it.
Where'd that come from? All of a sudden,
Kevin Durant. That's where it comes from. Kevin
he's
Durant.
Team Kevin Durant.
You heard that?
You heard that name? I love him too, but you can't win with two players. Can you rebound the basketball? Can you rebound, as Pat Riley used to say? No rebounds, no rings. Rebound the basketball. Speaking of Pat Riley,
Stephen A, no rebounds, no rings. You know what it is.
Yes.
After Jimmy Butler scored his career playoff best 45-5-5 in the victory over the Hawks, he said he's not the same player as 2 years ago. When he helped push the Lakers to the brink in the playoffs, I'm not as ball dominant as I was in the bubble. Trae Young had a better outing than game one, dropping 25. But it wasn't enough as Butler and the Heat take the victory 115-105. Here's Heat coach Eric Spoelstra with more on Jimmy Buckets.
I think everybody's looking for storylines and everybody's looking for the same conventional box for winning a championship. It can be done in a lot of different ways. Jimmy is a max guy, a go-to guy, a killer. Like, however you want to describe it, like, who cares? He knows how to win. He knows how to help teams win. And the game is played on both sides of the floor. It's played with IQ. It's played with toughness. It's played with, making plays in those winning moments. It's not necessarily what everybody thinks it is, but I don't have, time for a whole diatribe about that. He's just a winner. And he showed that tonight.
You're up first, Mad Dog.
How far
can Butler carry this Heat team?
Second round. He beat Atlanta.
Round.
The Hawks won 43 games. We're beating the Hawks. We're going to go have a party because they went out there and they beat the Hawks. I mean, geez. The Hawks are in a play-in scenario. We're down by 14 of the Cavaliers on Friday night.
I thought you were under the weather.
I feel better now.
Oh, my goodness,
now all
clearly.
Of a sudden, Jimmy Butler is going to sit there and he's going to be, he's going to be Kareem. He's going to be Jerry West. Let's take it easy. Oscar Robertson. Let's take it easy. Let Jimmy go out there, and I know they did a good job in the bubble. I know they did a good job in the bubble. I don't want to take that away from them. That was a weird year, that bubble. They beat the Bucks, and Giannis had the bad ankle. That was a very strange situation. Last year, they didn't do anything. They got swept. Let me see, in the first round, let me see them now. They're going to beat the Hawks. All right, again, we'll have a little parade down there, you know, in that lousy sports town. We'll have a little parade. Let me see them now go out there and turn around and beat Philly. Beat Harden, who's got a lot of who's got a lot of pressure on him, as Stephen A. has told us forever. And go beat Embiid. And go beat the Sixers, who they did not beat a few years ago when the Sixers beat them in five games. When they do that, we can sit there and we can start putting Jimmy Butler on this elevated plateau where everybody, including our little partner here, wants to put him at. You guys like to put these players. You guys, all of you. I mean, can we see some hardware? Everybody puts, in this day and age, everybody puts every star in every sport on an incredible plateau before they've done anything. Jason Tatum's the greatest guy in the world. He's never played an NBA final. All right? I mean, come on. Jimmy Butler's the greatest two-guard in the history of the NBA. He's never played in an NBA. Well, he did play in the NBA final in the bubble, but you get the idea. Can we see Harden is the greatest basketball? Go ask Jeff Van Gundy, who I love. Greatest basketball. He's better than West. No, he's not. All right? He's not. I don't care what he does with the – he's never done anything in a big situation. Chris Paul's another one. Oh, we go crazy. Can we win some championships, for crying out loud? And Butler, win a second-round series, and we come back and talk. How's that?
Well, your little partner can go now.
Go ahead there, Steve.
Unbelievable. First of all, nobody said these things about Jimmy Butler. That's number one. Number two, Jimmy Butler can ball. It's not like he's some scrub now, okay?
Good player.
And the question is, how far can Jimmy Butler carry the Heat? He can carry them to the conference finals. Yes, he can. He can beat Philly next series. He can beat Atlanta this series. He can beat Philly next series. This is Jimmy Butler here. Let me tell you something about Jimmy Butler. Is he the superstar? No, he's not that guy. He's a guy that knows how to do a lot of things very well, and he's tough as nails, and he also has that kind of personality that can infuse a team. This is the thing that made me laugh listening to Eric Spoelstra. I was like, I just remember a couple of weeks ago, that's not what they were saying about Jimmy Butler. I mean, the coach had to be restrained from going at him, you know. I mean, a couple of players had to be restrained. I mean, it was like, damn. But that's the way it goes in Miami. You know, a franchise that I love. I love that culture, and we know how I feel about that locale. We know I'm rooting for Miami to go to the finals. Let me be very, very clear. I'm not going to say it. I ain't going to say it too much. I'm rooting for the Miami Heat to go to the finals. Yes, I am, for my own personal reasons. Having said all of that, Jimmy Butler's got that kind of personality, that kind of moxie, that kind of toughness that can propel this team to a deep run in the Eastern Conference playoffs, which means the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they win this series against Atlanta. I think they beat Philly next series. I think they got the personnel around them. Now, Jimmy Butler, who I've known for years, in Chicago, in Minnesota, in Philadelphia, now Miami. Here's the thing about Jimmy Butler that everybody needs to understand, doggy. He's not one of those guys that has the personality, give me the ball and I'll take you there. He's not somebody that does that over the course of 48 minutes. Fourth quarter rolls around, last 5 minutes of a game, give him the ball, he wants it, okay? But when Brett Brown was coaching in Philadelphia before Doc Rivers got there, Brett Brown was trying to figure out how to utilize Jimmy because he had Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and obviously Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid didn't necessarily get along, and we knew that Ben Simmons couldn't shoot. So Jimmy Butler, like, what the hell are we doing here? And Brett Brown had to let him know, look, let this man do what he's got to do in the third quarter, fourth quarter, I'm coming to you, okay? Ball's going to be in your hand. And Jimmy Butler was willing to accept that. So he's not one of those guys, doggy, that wants to be the number one primary option launching 25 to 30 shots a game. No, he just wants to be a guy that fits in until it's time to close and then give him the ball and he can do something like that for you. Is he capable of doing that? You're damn right he did. He showed that in the bubble in the finals. Last year, not so good. In Philadelphia, the year that Kawhi Leonard won the championship in Toronto.
He played
Remember,
well.
It went game seven,
he
and the ball well. Had to bounce off the rim four different
now,
times for Kawhi and Toronto to do it. Philadelphia could have easily been in the conference finals for that game, for that season, because Jimmy Butler was there. And when Jimmy Butler departed, look at what Philly turned into until they finally got their hands on James Harden. And now we've got loftier expectations for them. All of those things are to be taken into consideration. Everybody doesn't have to be Kobe. Everybody doesn't have to be MJ. Everybody's not that guy. Some guys are just glue guys that can elevate their level of play when pivotal times arrive. That's Jimmy Butler.
Well,
and they can make a deep run in the conference finals because of it.
All right, two things. First off, now I'm going to root for a Milwaukee-Memphis final so you can have a wonderful week bouncing around Milwaukee.
Say what? I couldn't hear you, dog. What'd you say?
Milwaukee-Memphis final. So no Miami, no LA, so you can bounce around Milwaukee-Memphis.
Let me just say, I might cry on national television if that happened. I might cry. I might start crying on national television if I had a Milwaukee-Memphis final.
Friends with the mayor now, I don't know if you watch.
Oh, are you really?
Good. Yeah, yeah, I am.
A lot of bratwurst for Stevie in Milwaukee. I love it.
Yeah, he's got a ton of bratwurst in his office right now. You didn't watch the show.
I missed that.
They sent him a gift basket.
Did they send you a gift basket?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm
out here in California. Who the hell put bratwurst in my office?
There's bratwurst in your office. Lots of bratwurst.
Get it out.
Honest to God.
Throw it out. Want no damn bratwurst?
Why would I throw it out? It's a nice gesture. What do you mean throw it out?
What are you talking about? You eat anything. You eat hot dogs at stadiums.
That is not true. That is not true. Give it to somebody. A doggy, take it with you. Hot dog's different. I take hot dogs. No bratwurst. What's wrong with y'all? Get that stuff out of my office, Molly. Get it out of my office.
I didn't realize this.
They were very nice gifts. Very nice gifts. Very grateful.
I'll
go to Milwaukee at his place.
Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a good town. It's a downer town.
I'm only talking about the bratwurst. I'm not talking about the city. I'm not talking about other food. Just the bratwurst. I don't like bratwurst.
I'll give Stevie A this.
You never even ate bratwurst.
I'll give Stevie A this. Butler's scenario will be determined in the Philly series. He's got a good team. He's got a big coach. He's got home court. If you're Jimmy Butler and you are on this level of player, beat the Sixers. You do that, Steve's right, I'm wrong.
If you were a betting man, would he beat the Sixers?
No, I don't think he will.
Okay.
I'm going to take the center
in that
spot.
We'll get into that a little
more
later.
I think you're entirely too hard on some of these guys. I really do.
You especially. You, my gosh. Everybody is the greatest. Everybody is Bob Pettis with you. I mean, can we win some championship?
Oh, please.
You're hilarious.
I love him.
You are hilarious. All right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Sun
Suns star Devin Booker exits their Game 2 loss with right hamstring injury. Booker didn't play in the fourth quarter with the Pelicans after scoring 31 points, all coming in the first half. He sustained the injury with 4:45 left in the third quarter, a period in which he went 0-for-1 from the field. Booker missed 7 games in December with a left hamstring strain. He also had a left hamstring injury last season and missed 4 games. Suns coach Monty Williams was asked about Booker going down.
All of these games are so important, but no matter how you slice it, it's 1-1. You know, we can, you know, I'll whine and feel bad about it tonight, but we're 1-1, and it's a long series. We get to go to their place and, you know, we'll do what we do. We've been really good on the road, historically good on the road. We've played without Chris and Book before. If we have to play without Book, next man up. And we've done that all year long.
Do the Suns need a healthy Devin Booker, Christopher, to beat the Pelicans?
You know, I think they certainly need a healthy Booker not to be sweating against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing about the game last night you got to keep an eye on. They were losing when he got hurt, 77-74. So the idea that somehow this is the reason why the Pelicans won game two, it's not fair, because they did trail after he had 31 in that first half. And the other thing I would say about the Suns, one seeds who won 64 games, 8 games more than any other team in the NBA. And in the history of the NBA, if you've won not many than the rest of the league, you win a championship. You're not supposed to be 1-1 in an 8-1 series, okay? You know, when you're playing the 8th seed who won 36 games, who were 1-12 and 3-16, you know, the fact that, no big deal, we're 1-1. No. It is a big deal because the Suns now are going to be in a war with this team. This team's got a little moxie. This team beat the Clippers on Friday night when they were dead, down by 13 in the fourth quarter, and they came back after they blew a huge lead. Tremendous job in that scenario. They had a bad game one. They came back last night. They were down at the half, and they won the game going away. And Ingram, I don't care what anybody says, that guy, he is – now, listen, he hasn't done anything yet either, so let's not go crazy. Let's not say what I just said regarding Tatum and Butler. Ingram's a tremendous player. And he is capable of making this a very long, difficult series for Phoenix. And I'll tell you right now, Stevie's wrong. If Phoenix doesn't have Booker, they're not getting to Golden State. They're going to be picked off by somebody because they're not that good without him. They don't have a lot of offense. Hall's up and down. Bridges is not a great offensive player. The center's getting outplayed by Varsalunas. He's getting outplayed by the Pelican center. Crowder can't shoot. If they don't have Booker, they're going to have a lot of trouble the rest of this series. Now, I think he'll probably play. And, you know, New Orleans doesn't have a lot of experience. And, you know, like Minnesota last night, they got a little too happy with their first win. They didn't show up for game two. I don't completely trust the Pelicans. But the idea now that the Suns are going to just roll on, no big deal, we'll win without Booker, they're not supposed to be 1-1, okay? When you're an 8-1 seed with 64 wins, this should be quick. And now they put themselves in a war. That's a bad sign for Phoenix down the road. That's what I'd say about that.
You know, I could belabor, you know, your ridiculous take that you just gave.
What's ridiculous?
By pointing out the multitude of times an eighth seed has won a game in a series and stuff like that. I remember when Michael Jordan and the Bulls lost to B.J. Armstrong in the Charlotte Hornets. You know, I remember a lot of things that's happened in the NBA. I remember when Magic Johnson and the Los Angeles Lakers lost by 40 to the Boston Celtics in an NBA Finals game and came back and won the daggone series. So I love how you try to act like, you know, just one game. I mean, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be this way. I love how you try to do that.
Well, the Lakers,
then, you know, I said,
the Lakers
said
are the eighth seed. The Lakers are the eighth seed against Boston in 85 game one.
Hold on. Don't interrupt me because I'm getting to somewhere. You know, Doggy, one of the worst things that happens with you is that, see, I listen to you. You see, I'm listening. I'm scouring through Mad Dog Radio sometimes. You know, I'm watching. I'm listening. You know, and when I hear your bizarre takes, I remember the other day, I just couldn't believe that what I was hearing. Ladies and gentlemen, Mad Dog Russo hosts a radio show. He has his own channel. It's a sports radio show. And you know what he spent damn near a half hour on? Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Ben Franklin talking about
that's a great documentary.
And electricity. Right. That's what he was talking about. This is Mad Dog Russo. I mean, he's out there. He's just out there, okay? And you're out there now. Because let me tell you something.
The Phoenix Suns, led by the best point guard, the best pure point guard in basketball right now, who's approaching 37 years of age, is Chris Paul. That's the leader. Last time I checked, Mikal Bridges is a top two candidate. He was my vote for Defensive Player of the Year, even though I'm happy for Marcus Smart. DeAndre Ayton is no scrub. You know, Cameron Johnson and those boys can play. And I'm telling you something right now. I'm not concerned. I respect the Pelicans. I respect the young talent that they have. If Zion Williamson was there, I'd feel a little differently. But without Zion Williamson, I don't expect the Phoenix Suns, with game preparation available to them now that they know Booker's going to be out, to lose this game or this series. I don't expect it at all. I expect the Phoenix Suns to finish the deal in the first round. I expect the Phoenix Suns, with or without Devin Booker, to beat Utah or Dallas. Ain't going to be Golden State. I'm not picking them to beat Golden State with Devin Booker, okay? So I damn sure ain't going to do it without him. That's where I'm at with it, and I don't see why on earth you would think that the Pelicans, of all people, would take out the Phoenix Suns. You're showing no respect whatsoever at all.
Right.
Period.
To who?
To the Phoenix Suns.
Well, hold on now. If they don't have Booker, Ingram, and McCollum are better than anybody that Phoenix has offensively. McCollum is a very good player. He is a dynamic offensive player. Paul's up and down with his shooting. 5-for-16 last night. Last year game, a game against Milwaukee, was awful. I mean, and we all make Chris Paul. You know, he's not a transcendent figure because he does State Farm commercials. He's not a this is not Ray Bork with the Boston Bruins who went to Colorado and won a Stanley Cup. The whole world loved it. This is not Oscar Robertson going to Milwaukee so he can win a championship.
You love Bob Cousy, didn't you?
He is not beloved.
You love Bob Cousy, didn't you? Did you talk about Bob Cousy at the radio about Bob Cousy? You know what? You know what Isaiah Thomas is? Are you talking about pure point guard, quintessential floor generals? Tell me somebody in the game of basketball better than Chris Paul right now. Tell me one person. What?
Can I think about it?
You think about it. You think about it. Really? You, the historian that you are. What you need time to think for? I thought you knew this stuff.
And
give
by
me
the way,
one point guard better. One quintessential pure floor
what
general.
What do I count? Is Curry a point guard?
Of the court,
is Curry a point
better
guard?
Better than Chris Paul.
Is Curry a point guard?
Who?
Is Curry a point guard?
Yes and no. He's a point guard.
How about Trae Young?
Shooter.
Is Trae Young a point guard? Yes or no?
The scorers.
Oh, is he a point guard?
They play the point guard because they're small, but they got the ball to score.
Let me get this straight now.
Hold on, we're going history now.
Enough.
We're going history now. You're not getting away with this, Doggy, because you know exactly. You're trying to be slick.
Enough.
You know exactly what I'm asking you. I said pure point guard, a floor general, run the show. Is there a point guard in basketball better than Chris Paul?
All right, so if that's the case, they will win this series without Booker. That's your point?
Yes.
How many games?
Six.
I'll tell you something right now, okay? You have overrated Phoenix. We sat here 2 weeks ago. You tell me how great Phoenix is. You know, Phoenix lost a home game. They're a one seed that lost a home game, all right?
Oh.
There's only three. They lost a home game, and this is not the Lakers-Celtics in 85 with Bird. I mean, come on, that's the difference. Don't compare it to an NBA final. They should not. They had a lead. They were trailing last night when Booker got hurt. That is not as good a team as you guys make it out. There's another guy. You guys make these teams and these players out to be Hall of Famers before they do anything. Phoenix blew a 2-0 lead last year. They lost four straight games to Milwaukee. They didn't play very well last night. They should have really played a game seven against the Clippers last year. And now you got Chris Paul, 37 years of age,
being
the best point guard in the history of the NBA.
You're being slick. You're being slick because you're going back to your original point about how Phoenix could lose this series. And I sat up there and said to the historian, the guy that brings up George Mikan and Bob Pettit and Oscar Robertson and say Elgin Baylor, I asked a historian that's got his own damn channel, that's got his minions scattered all over the country. I said to you, I asked you a question, is there a better pure point guard in basketball today, and you brought up the Suns. You were evasive on purpose. You're trying to be slick. You're not getting away with it. And you're not going to escape because I'm going to call into your show and bring up the same subject again because you're trying to avoid it because you didn't have an answer. You didn't have an answer.
I'm a big Paul fan, but let's take it easy. They lost last night. Paul did nothing. He's out.
It's one game.
And they got Ingram and McCollum on the other side. And this New Orleans team's got a lot of juice right now. They got a lot of buzz. That team feels good about themselves. That Clipper win was a tremendous win. Last night was a great win going
they
home.
Feel good
that's
about
a dangerous
themselves.
Team. That's a dangerous
that's
team.
They feel good about themselves. Hey, Molly, I didn't know. My bad, Molly. Doggies got me there. They feel good about themselves. I gotta give it to them. They feel good. They feel good about themselves. So that's why they gonna win.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.